All right, welcome to the Deep Dive, everybody. Today we're diving into a really interesting case. One of those cases where, you know, free speech and city rules really kind of, well, they clash.
Yeah.
It's Metro Media, Inc. v. City of San Diego. And we've got some really fascinating material here that breaks down just how much power a city really has to, I guess you could say, shape what we see every day when we're out and about.
Right.
And even more importantly than that, what it means for, well, for all of our First Amendment rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big questions here.
So our mission today is we really want to try to nail down how the courts, how they balance a city's desire.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very understandable desire to have safe streets.
Right.
Streets that look good.
Sure.
Against this bedrock principle, you know,
yeah.
The First Amendment.
Yeah.
This freedom of expression.
Yeah.
And what happens when, well, when those two things just slam right into each other.
Right.
Head on collision.
Head on, yeah.
It's kind of this fundamental tug of war, isn't it?
It is.
Between the power of the local government and, well, and your rights. Our rights as individuals.
Yeah.
You know, our constitutional rights.
Exactly.
And especially, I think this is even more, well, more intense, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about something like billboards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So visually pervasive, you can't escape them.
They're just, you know, they're part of the landscape.
They really are.
And to help us, you know, navigate all this, it's a very intricate legal landscape.
Yeah, for sure.
We're very happy to have with us a constitutional law scholar.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So I guess to get us started, maybe just set the stage for us a little bit. Why is Metro Media such a, I guess, such a landmark case? I mean, what makes this case so important in the world of First Amendment law?
Well, I think it's really a cornerstone case when we try to understand, you know, all the little ins and outs of the First Amendment, particularly when we think about it in the context of, you know, rules that cities make, municipal regulations.
Yeah.
You know, one of the fascinating things about this case is that it highlights how these, like, seemingly straightforward city planning issues,
right,
they can really run smack dab into these, you know, really fundamental constitutional protections.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big one.
Okay, cool. So let's, I guess let's jump right in. San Diego, they had this ordinance,
yep.
Ordinance 10795.
Right.
It sounds like that's the, I guess that's the star of the show today.
It's our main character.
What exactly did this ordinance do? What did it say?
Well, essentially what Ordinance 10795 did is it banned most off-site billboards.
Okay.
Now, for our listeners out there, when we say off-site billboard, all that really means is a billboard that advertises something that's not on the same property as the billboard itself.
Right.
So not just about businesses advertising their own stuff.
Right.
This covered pretty much, well, everything.
Right.
From selling, you know, the latest gadget to, you know, sharing your political views. So, you know, commercial messages, those messages trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
And non-commercial messages, like those that are promoting, I don't know, some kind of cause or even a political candidate, those were largely prohibited.
So it was a pretty, well, I mean, I guess you could say it was a pretty sweeping ordinance.
Yeah.
I mean, San Diego really, they made a big move here.
They did.
So I'm curious, what was the thinking behind all of this? I mean, why such a broad ban? What were they trying to solve? What was the problem here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, their stated goals, they were really all about quality of life, right?
Yeah.
So at first they argued this was about public safety. They wanted to reduce traffic hazards, you know,
okay,
by minimizing the distractions that drivers face. You know, think about it. You're
yeah.
driving down the road.
Yeah.
The roadside is all cluttered up with billboards, you know, flashing lights and whatnot.
Yeah.
Your attention's going to be pulled in a million different directions.
Right.
And that can be dangerous.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And second, they really wanted to enhance the city's aesthetic appeal.
Right.
They thought that billboards, especially when you had a ton of them, they were just visual clutter.
Yeah.
And they thought it detracted from how the city looked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's that classic tension, isn't it? Between, yeah. I mean, between your right to say something, put up your message, and the community's right, or the community's desire, I guess I should say, for order and beauty.
Right. It's a constant push and pull.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm guessing there were some exceptions to this. Well, I mean, it was almost a total ban, right?
Yeah, there were a few.
I mean, you can't just ban everything.
Right. Exactly. So they carved out some exceptions, and I think they're important to highlight. So businesses could still advertise, but it had to be on site.
Okay.
So like think about your local bakery.
Right.
They could still put a sign, fresh bread here on their own building.
Right, right.
But they couldn't go and put up a billboard, 2 miles down the road.
Right. Makes sense.
And then there were exceptions also for, things like official government signs.
Okay.
So think traffic directions, public service announcements, things like that.
Right.
And importantly for the billboard companies, there was something called an amortization period built in.
Okay.
And this basically gave them, it gave them a timeline to make back the money that they had invested in the existing billboards.
Okay.
Before those billboards had to be taken down.
Right.
So it wasn't like an immediate, rip everything down kind of thing.
Right, right.
It's a common way to soften the blow, so to speak, when you have these kinds of bans.
Right, to make it a little easier to swallow. Okay, so this ordinance, I'm guessing it didn't exactly just sail through the legal system?
Not quite.
It ran into some rough waters, right?
It did, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it faced some challenges. Yeah. So tell me about that. What happened?
So the first stop, like with many legal cases, was the trial court.
Right.
And in this case, the trial court actually sided with the billboard companies.
Wow.
They said, you know what, this ordinance, it just goes too far.
Okay.
It steps on constitutional toes.
Okay.
We're striking it down.
They struck it down.
They did. Okay.
But as you might expect, that wasn't the end of the story.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that doesn't sound like the end.
Right.
Yeah.
The California Supreme Court, they then stepped in and said, hold on a second. We see this a little differently.
Okay.
And they actually reversed that trial court decision.
Really?
They upheld the ordinance.
So they were fine with it?
Yeah, at that point they were.
Okay.
But of course, that's still not the final chapter, is it?
Yeah. I mean, there's one more stop, I'm guessing, right?
Right. This is where things get really interesting. The U.S. Supreme Court enters the picture.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so tell me, what did SCOTUS, what was their take on this whole billboard battle?
Well, SCOTUS, they took the case, and their decision was, that's a big one.
Okay.
They reversed the California Supreme Court.
Wow.
So flipped it right back.
Wow, okay.
But the really crucial point in their ruling was that it specifically targeted the ban on non-commercial signs.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
The ones with, political messages, social causes, things like that.
Right.
So SCOTUS said, you can't just have this blanket ban on all these types of signs.
Okay.
They said that was a clear violation of the First Amendment.
Really?
And they were reaffirming a principle that's been around for a while.
Okay.
Which is that non-commercial speech that covers, everything from your political views to just your own personal opinions.
Right.
Those generally have more protection under the Constitution
yep.
than commercial speech, which, commercial speech often gets a lower level of scrutiny.
Okay. Okay. So I get it. So essentially the big takeaway from SCOTUS was San Diego, you can't just blanket ban all those non-commercial billboards.
Right.
Okay, so then what happened? I mean, did it just automatically invalidate San Diego's entire ordinance? Was that the end of it?
Not quite.
Okay.
They didn't just toss out the entire ordinance right then and there.
Okay.
They did something else. They sent it back down to the California Supreme Court.
Oh.
Legally speaking, this is called remanding a case.
Okay.
And essentially, SCOTUS was telling the California court, hey, take another look at this whole ordinance.
Okay.
But this time, keep in mind what we just said about the First Amendment and non-commercial speech.
Okay, okay.
So the big question then became, could the rest of the ordinance could it be salvaged somehow?
Yeah, right.
Or was that unconstitutional part, the non-commercial ban, was it so baked into the whole thing that the entire thing had to go?
Oh, okay.
So it was back in California's court, so to speak.
All right. So the hot potato was back in California's hands.
Right.
So what did San Diego do? I mean, after SCOTUS basically said, hey, you know, what you did with non-commercial speech, that's not okay.
Right.
Did they just give up?
Well, it's interesting. They didn't.
Okay.
They enacted something called an interim ordinance.
Oh.
So this was a temporary measure.
Right.
But it showed that they were still very committed to this idea of, you know, regulating billboards.
Okay.
And what's really interesting is they seemed pretty set on preserving as much of that original ordinance, you know, the structure of it, as they could.
Right.
Even after SCOTUS had very clearly said, hey, you know, that ban on non-commercial speech, not cool.
Right.
So this move, you know, enacting this interim ordinance, this actually became a really important point later on in one of the opinions written about the case.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so the California Supreme Court had this, you know, they had to wrestle with this again.
They did, yeah.
Knowing that SCOTUS had already kind of flagged this, you know, this whole non-commercial part as a problem.
Mm.
So what was the big question, the big legal question that they were trying to answer this second time around?
Yeah, the central question was, could this original ordinance, could it be saved?
Okay.
Was there a way to make it, you know, constitutionally sound?
Okay.
And there were really two main options they were looking at.
Right.
First, could they just say, okay, well, this ordinance, it only applies to commercial signs.
Okay.
And that way, you know, they could just sidestep the whole First Amendment issue.
Right.
Because SCOTUS, you know, hadn't said anything about banning commercial billboards.
Right, right.
Second option was, could they sever the ordinance?
Right.
Which means, could they chop out those unconstitutional bits?
Right.
Specifically, you know, the parts that were about non-commercial speech.
Right.
And then leave the rest of it as is.
Okay.
So, you know, just focus on the commercial stuff. But the really big underlying question was the whole original ordinance just fundamentally flawed?
Right.
You know, what lawyers call facially invalid, which means it was so messed up that there was no fixing it.
Okay, so it was either fixable or just completely broken.
Yeah, that was the big question.
And they said no.
They did.
The California Supreme Court ultimately decided we can't rescue this thing.
That's right.
So why? Why did they come to that conclusion? What were the main reasons they gave for not saving the ordinance?
All right. Well, the majority of the California Supreme Court, they laid out a couple of key reasons. And their first big point was all about legislative intent.
Okay.
So they looked really closely at the language in the ordinance.
Right.
And the stated purpose of it.
Right.
Remember Ordinance 10795, our star of the show?
Yes.
And they came to the conclusion that what the city really wanted, like the big overarching goal, was to ban all off-site advertising,
right,
both commercial and non-commercial. So to them, the court, they're like, well, to just reinterpret it now and say, oh, it only applies to commercial signs, they were like, well, that's basically creating a whole new law,
right?
One that the San Diego City Council, they never intended to pass in the first place.
Right.
It's kind of like, imagine you're baking a cake.
Okay.
A two-layer cake.
All right, I'm with you.
And, you know, you put it in the oven and the top layer, it gets burnt.
Okay.
So you're not just going to scrape off the burnt part and serve the bottom layer and say, hey, this is the cake I intended to bake.
Right.
Right. The court was basically saying, well, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
We can't just, you know, change the recipe after the fact.
Right.
They wanted to stick to what the city actually set out to do.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
if the original goal was just this big, you know, ban on everything.
Yeah.
Then to just target one type of speech, yeah, it does feel like it's changing the whole purpose of the law.
Right, exactly.
So what was the next hurdle? I mean, was there something else they couldn't get past?
Well, the second big reason they gave was all about effectiveness.
Okay.
They were worried that even if they narrowed the ban to just commercial signs, it wouldn't really solve the problems that the city was trying to address in the first place.
Okay.
They said, you know, non-commercial signs can be just as distracting to drivers as the commercial ones.
Right.
You know, they can be just as big, just as flashy.
Right.
So just getting rid of the commercial ones wouldn't really reduce the clutter or make the roads safer.
Okay. So they were basically saying, even if we do this, it's not going to actually accomplish what you set out to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Interesting.
What else?
Well, they also brought up this idea that even with a ban just on commercial signs, there could still be some First Amendment issues popping up.
Oh.
And that's because, you know, sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between commercial speech and non-commercial speech.
Right.
Like, where do you draw the line?
Right. You know, it can get pretty fuzzy.
Yeah.
So the court was worried that this fuzziness could lead to, you know, some unfairness in how the law was enforced.
Right.
Like, one sign gets taken down, but another one that's almost the same gets to stay up.
Right.
And that could open up a whole new can of worms with even more constitutional challenges down the road.
Right.
So they were kind of like, you know, even trying to narrow the focus, it might not actually solve the problem and could even make things worse.
Right.
Legally speaking, anyway.
So, okay, they're talking about, you know, legislative intent, effectiveness, potential new problems.
Mm.
But what was, I guess, what was the most fundamental reason for them not just rewriting the ordinance?
Well, their final point, and I think it's probably the most important one, it was all about the idea of judicial restraint.
Okay.
And the separation of powers. Right. So, you know, our government has these different branches.
Right.
And each one's supposed to have its own lane.
Right.
The courts, they felt very strongly that it wasn't their job to basically rewrite the ordinance.
Right.
They said, look, it's the legislature's job to write the laws. Our job is to interpret them.
Right.
And they felt that to change the ordinance so drastically, even to make it constitutional, that would be stepping on the legislature's toes.
Right.
It would be overstepping their boundary.
Okay, so they weren't going to put on their lawmaker hats and start changing the law themselves.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what about this idea of, well, what about severability? You mentioned that earlier.
Right.
I mean, could they have just gotten rid of those parts about non-commercial speech and left the rest of the ordinance in place? I mean, you know, just focus on commercial billboards.
Well, the court thought about that too, but they ultimately decided against it.
Okay.
And again, it came back to this idea of legislative intent.
Right.
You know, they said, look, if we just remove the non-commercial ban, what we're left with is a law that only deals with commercial signs.
Right.
And that wasn't what the city was originally trying to do.
Right.
They wanted to get rid of all billboards, remember?
Right, right.
So they felt that to just chop off that part about non-commercial speech would be, well, it'd be like rewriting the law themselves.
Right.
And again, they weren't comfortable doing that.
Okay. So the majority felt like they couldn't just, you know, make a little tweak here and there. It was either the whole thing or nothing.
Right, pretty much.
But you mentioned earlier that one of the justices, Justice Kaus, he didn't agree with all this.
Right. He dissented.
So tell me, what was the gist of his argument? Why did he think they should have saved the ordinance?
Well, his main point was all about that interim ordinance that the city passed after the SCOTUS ruling.
Right.
Remember, we talked about that?
Yeah.
So Justice Kaus, he said, look, this interim ordinance, it's a clear sign that San Diego still wants to have some control over billboards.
Okay.
Even if it means having a narrower law than they originally planned.
Right.
He said, it shows that the city would rather have something than nothing, even if that something is just a ban on commercial billboards.
Okay.
So he thought the court should respect that.
Okay.
You know, give the city what they're asking for, even if it's not everything they wanted at first.
Right, right. Okay, so he saw that interim ordinance as like a, I guess like a sign of what the city really wanted, even if, you know, SCOTUS had kind of clipped their wings a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. What about, well, what about those concerns that the majority had?
Right.
You know, they were saying that a commercial-only ban might not really be effective.
Right.
Did Justice Kaus have a response to that?
He did. He basically said that those concerns, they were just speculation.
Okay.
He was like, look, we don't know for sure if a commercial-only ban won't work.
Okay.
Let the city try it.
Yeah.
Give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, well, then we can revisit it.
Okay.
So he thought the court was shutting down a potential solution too quickly.
Right.
He wanted to give San Diego the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. But the majority wasn't buying it.
Right.
So why did they stick to their guns? Why did they reject Justice Kaus's argument?
Well, their main point was this. They said, look, our focus needs to stay on the original law.
Right.
That's the one that's being challenged.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on what the lawmakers intended when they passed it.
Okay.
They said that things that happened after the SCOTUS ruling, like that interim ordinance, they shouldn't really change how the court interprets that original law.
Okay.
You know, they saw that interim ordinance as, well, as a separate thing.
Right.
And it didn't change the fact that the original ordinance, the one that was being challenged, that it was just flawed from the start.
Okay, okay. I'm following you.
Yeah.
So this case, it seems like it really hinges on this question of, well, when can a court actually step in and change a law?
Right.
to save it from being unconstitutional.
Right.
And it sounds like, I mean, I'm guessing there are some bigger legal principles that kind of guide courts when they're faced with these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And this case really gets at the heart of something called the Constitutional Salvage Doctrine. Well, and basically what that means is that courts, they should try to interpret laws in a way that makes them constitutional.
Okay.
If it's at all possible.
Right.
The idea is, you know, we want to respect the work that the lawmakers do.
Right.
We don't want to just strike down laws all willy-nilly.
Right.
But as we see in this case, there are limits to that. Courts can't just rewrite laws however they want.
Right.
They got to work within certain boundaries.
So where do they draw the line? When do they say, nope, this law, this is just unsalvageable?
Yeah.
What are the things that they consider when they're making those decisions?
Well, there's not like a, you know, a hard and fast checklist.
Okay.
But there are some common factors that they look at.
Okay.
First off, they ask, is this new interpretation, this change that we're thinking about making, is it fair and reasonable?
Okay.
Like, does it actually fit with the words of the law?
Right.
Does the text support it? Then they really dig into the legislative intent. They ask, okay, what were the lawmakers trying to do when they passed this law? Does this change that we're thinking about, does it still align with their goals?
Okay.
They also think about effectiveness.
Right.
Like, will this revised law actually solve the problems that it was supposed to solve?
Okay.
And finally, they got to consider if the change is going to create any new constitutional problems.
Right.
You know, are we just going to be back here again in a few years with a new lawsuit?
Right, right.
So it's a balancing act, right?
Yeah.
Trying to honor what the lawmakers wanted to do while also upholding the Constitution.
Right. I mean, it sounds like it's not just about, you know, fixing the problem in front of you. You also have to think about the bigger picture, the potential consequences.
Yeah, you got to think long term.
So I'm thinking about our listeners, you know, a lot of law students out there, maybe studying for their con law exams.
Right.
What are the big takeaways from Metromedia? Why should they care about this case?
Well, it has some really important lessons for anyone going into law.
Okay.
Like for those who might be drafting legislation one day, you know, writing laws.
Right.
This case really shows how important it is to be precise.
Okay.
To be really careful with your wording.
Okay.
Make sure that the law isn't too broad.
Right.
Because if it is, it could end up infringing on people's constitutional rights.
Okay.
And that could mean the whole law gets tossed out.
Right.
Just like what happened here.
So no constitutional overreach.
Got it.
Right. Stay in your lane.
What about for future litigators, the folks who will be arguing these kinds of cases in court?
Well, for them, Metromedia really shows the limits of this idea of severability.
Okay.
You can't just go into court and say, hey, just cut out the bad parts and the rest is fine.
Right.
You know, especially if what you're left with is totally different from what the lawmakers originally intended.
Right.
The courts, they're not there to rewrite laws.
Okay.
They're there to interpret them.
So your arguments, they got to be based on the actual text of the law and what the lawmakers were trying to achieve.
Right.
You got to be able to back it up.
And what about the big First Amendment principles here?
Right.
I mean, what should law students learn about free speech from this case?
Well, I think Metromedia really drives home the point that non-commercial speech, it gets more protection than commercial speech.
Okay.
You know, and that's a big part of why SCOTUS got involved in the first place.
Right.
They saw that San Diego was trying to completely ban non-commercial billboards, and they said, nope, that's not how it works.
Right.
So understanding that, you know, there's this hierarchy of speech, it's really important when you're analyzing any law that tries to regulate what people can say or express.
So what you're saying is, like, political messages, you know, ideological expressions, those get more leeway than, like, an ad trying to sell you a car or something.
Right, exactly. It's all about context.
Okay. All right. Any final thoughts? Any last bits of wisdom you want to impart to our budding legal eagles out there?
Sure. I think the big takeaway is this. Courts, they're very hesitant to mess with laws in a major way.
Okay.
Even if they're trying to save them from being unconstitutional.
Right.
If making a change means going against what the lawmakers clearly intended, the courts are going to be very cautious.
Okay,
you don't want to overstep their bounds. They respect that separation of powers.
Right.
And Metromedia is a perfect example of that.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into Metromedia v. City of San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is fascinating to see how the courts try to balance these, you know, these competing interests.
Yeah.
A city that wants order and beauty and these fundamental rights that we have under the Constitution.
It's a constant struggle.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think is just as relevant today as it was back then.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, cities are still grappling with these issues all the time.
Right.
How to regulate billboards, signs, you know, all these forms of visual expression in the public space.
Right.
And they have to do it in a way that doesn't violate the Constitution.
Right.